Welcome back, everyone. I'm George Knapp. We're in the home stretch of our conversation, our fascinating conversation with historian Richard Dolan, author of UFOs and the National Security State, one of the most important UFO books ever written. And I know that Rich is hard at work on volume two. And man, this is a hefty project. I want to ask one more question, Rich, before we go to the phone lines. And you've already outlined, as you have in your book, that the government's been lying to us for a long time, that they secretly studied UFOs, that they concluded this is serious business. They told the public something entirely different.
Right.
And then they instituted a program of debunking and disinformation. Your thesis is that the program itself, the hardware, maybe the bodies, has been moved out of the purview of government into private industry. I wonder if that same thing still holds true for disinformation efforts. You know, where there were discussions, of course, about whether something like a Majestic 12 ever existed, that there are hit squads essentially that go out and manipulate the media. Do you think anything like that still exists, or is it no longer necessary?
I believe it does exist. I think that there are active links between the right government people and the right media people. There was a study, this was done years ago, by the legendary journalist Carl Bernstein of all the President's Men fame. Back in 1977, Bernstein wrote a study that appeared in Rolling Stone magazine dealing with the CIA's relationship with mainstream American journalism at that time. Mentioned over 400 mainstream journalists having been on the CIA payroll without anybody knowing during the Cold War. The CIA quickly said, well, we don't do that anymore. That's not our way. That's the old CIA. That's not the new CIA. But there were a number of statements during the 1990s in which the CIA director said, well, in fact, we reserve the right to do that, to have relationships with paid relationships with journalists. But in fact, it doesn't even work that simply anymore. What we find is that many journalists actively cultivate relationships with the CIA and with other government agencies because they want the inside track. I mean, look, we've had a couple of wars with embedded journalists, for God's sake. So, in fact, this is the easiest thing in the world to have proxies do your work for you. 10 years ago, there was the journalist Gary Webb who wrote a very important three-part article dealing with cocaine trafficking and its possible connections to the CIA. He wrote a three-part piece called Dark Alliance, in which he posited that based on his research, the CIA was wittingly allowing cocaine being shipped in through the 1980s through the Contras in connection with the Medellin cartel and LA gangs like the Bloods and Crips. When Webb wrote that article in 1996, he was hung out to dry, and the people who attacked him wasn't the CIA. The CIA stood back and said, well, we have no knowledge of this, and they just watched the Washington Post and the LA Times and the New York Times tear Gary Webb to pieces. And you know what's really scary about Gary Webb's story? He was out of a job within a year. 10 years after that, and I think it was in 05 or 06, Gary Webb died of not one, but two self-inflicted gunshot wounds to the head.
that's not something to laugh about.
Yeah. And it was ruled a suicide.
Oh, man.
So if he had been killed right away, that would have been very suspicious. So, look, how hard is it to imagine? You wait a few years, and then you whack him, and the people, you know, anyone involved in that, they know. So will there ever be proof that Gary Webb was murdered? Doubt it. Doubt it. But the message is there.
I know the Coast listeners are anxious to ask you some questions. Let's go to the phone lines. I know our first-time caller, Harry, has been hanging on there in Baltimore. Harry, what's on your mind?
Hello. How you guys doing today? I had a quick comment to make and a question. You guys were talking earlier about how private contractors are in bed with aliens or whatever. Did you know that Bush, actually, his father, Bush Sr., has a lot of money in private weapon contracts? He has a lot of money in that?
Yes, absolutely. George Bush Sr. Has been one of the, he gets huge amounts of money And he's associated with the largest non-publicly held weapons contracting group in the country, as far as I know. And they have a very close ear to the president. In fact, this was featured, among other places, in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. That's called the Carlyle Group.
And the grandfather, too, right? The grandfather was involved in weapons trade, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, the grandfather, Prescott Bush, a senator, was investigated and nearly arrested by J. Edgar Hoover during World War II. As we like to say, you can look it up. Prescott Bush was being investigated for financing armaments and weapons for the Third Reich before and during World War II, and then that ended. Prescott Bush was politically safe, it's believed, because he was one of the founders of the USO. Think Bob Hope, you know, going overseas. That's what they did. He became off limits, and as far as I know, broke off the relationship. But this family goes back a long way. They've had a lot of questionable, you know, transactions and long history. And of course, then you get the whole Skull and Bones connection. But we don't have to get into that.
Harry,
I
want to
clarify. I didn't say private contractors were in bed with aliens per se, but. I mean, I take your point, so we'll just let it go with that.
Was that it, Harry?
No, I had another question to go with that comment I made. Now, I was, like, 2 years ago, I was watching the History Channel, and they had this, I think it was Modern Marvels, and they were talking about these rockets they have that can actually do maneuvers faster than a helicopter, but do the same maneuvers, like move side to side, come down, go up real quick. And they actually show real live footage of these rockets. My question to you is, what percentage of UFO sightings do you think could have been of aircraft like this? And take my answer off there.
Good question.
Thanks,
you know, this is a guy who's in my time zone, so I really respect anyone who stays on hold at 4 a.m., Modern Marvels, I think, is a really interesting show. They got a lot of neat stuff. There is amazing technology that is not fully acknowledged that's out there. Are some of these mistaken for UFOs? Well, they certainly could be. A great example of one that's still under dispute, but I think shouldn't be disputed, is the Nellis Air Force Base video footage of 1994. This is an utterly extraordinary piece of video that was smuggled out of Nellis, made it to the TV show Hard Copy in early 1995, and we've had it ever since. You can look it up on YouTube. You can look at the whole thing. It's a couple of minutes long. This video has been analyzed, and what it shows is an object. It's very non-aerodynamic looking. It looks like a kind of disc-like, somewhat, almost like a ball. And it's moving, and we're able to track its movements because there's speed and there's like distance and azimuth and all these other things on the video itself, so you can study how this thing moves. This object moved from as slowly as 20 miles per hour to as rapidly as 500 miles per hour, all within 2 minutes. It did a right angle turn at about 140 miles per hour in 1994. Now, who made that? Presumably, we did. It's not certain. I would imagine you could argue maybe the aliens made that, but I'm thinking we made that. It was at Nellis testing range. It was being videoed by our people. So, in other words, there has been some amazing stuff that's been out there for some time. I'd like to know what makes the Nellis object move in the way that it did. Is it just high-octane gasoline, or is it something else?
Yeah, they're putting something in the tank. We need to take a short break again. We'll go back to the phone line. Stick around for Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, everyone. I'm George Knapp on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest is Richard Dolan, and we're going to plow through some phone calls here. Let's go to the East of the Rockies line, John in Winnipeg. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, John.
Sure thing.
What a great opportunity this is. What a joy. Yeah, you know, geez, where to start? You know, if aliens were smart enough to traverse the universe, I think they just remind us that there are indivisible truths that we all share as equals. You know, you were talking earlier about how America, or the emasculation of America, is due to the actions of a secret cabal, but it's really not secret. It's just like, as you said, we know that, you know, trillions of dollars are missing, and if you want freedom, you have to have accountability, you know? So I think they would be there to remind us, you know, as I think they have. I mean, with the crop circles, we have Canadian scientists that go out to the crop circles and say the molecular structure of each individual stalk of wheat, for example, is changed. Now, we know scientifically that's near impossible to do except by some other scientific knowledge that we're not capable of understanding currently. And you can see, like, that's our struggle, is to admit that there are things that we don't know, that are unknown. And to placate our fears, we like to tell ourselves, well, the CIA really knows what's going on. And perhaps, as you say, some people in the military have figured out how to traverse quickly. But, you know, I find it hard to believe. I think if aliens were out amongst ourselves, as it clearly does indicate something's going on, they would want us to support freedom for ourselves by forming conclusions that stand irrespective of our characters. Like, we know for certain, here's an example, we know for certain without a shadow of a doubt, nobody in America would disagree, that the FBI's formal conclusion is that General Mahmoud Ahmad funded the terrorist actions of 9/11. There's nobody to disagree with that. But just as we fear crop circles, we too fear standing up for freedom and in defense of the FBI and, like, demanding, you know, that would be our first suspect, of course. That would be the guy we would send all the soldiers out to get. But we don't, because we're fearful of that kind of knowledge, those indivisible truths that we would share with any other living consciousness in the universe. You know, if they traverse the universe, I'm sure it would be through a wormhole. And to understand the mechanics of a wormhole, at least theoretically, through holographic understanding, is that all is all. All is in all. Everything in the universe is in everything else. And
hey, John, I'm going to be, in fairness to the other callers, I'm going to ask you to get to a question here sometime soon.
Okay. Well, I just would like to state, would you think that other alien forces, to benefit themselves, would see it in their hearts to benefit us too, instead of looking for an advantage, a way to take advantage of us? Do you think it's possible for them to think that they would benefit if we, you know, stopped indiscriminately killing ourselves, or having our pensions thieved, or having people at the Pentagon walk away scot-free with trillions of our dollars, saying, "Oops, we lost the cash." Well, we kind of know where they are and where the money went.
Okay, so we're going to give Rich a shot
question,
at that.
Totally, John. In fact, I love much of what you're saying here. Although I'm not trustful of a lot of what I see as the alien component of this, I'm still not comfortable saying that I think they're all bad. I'm interested in the crop circle phenomenon too. In fact, I have a significant amount to say on it in my next book. And I agree with you that the evidence shows that these crop circles, you can't explain them by simple hoax. It doesn't work. There's too much change that occurs that appears to have occurred at the molecular level of these wheat fields, of these fields that show very localized, high intense microwave heat. And so that throws out a lot of these hoax conclusions, or at least makes them very, very complicated. On top of the fact that these things appear overnight in incredible, I mean, unbelievable, almost genius level complexity, you have to wonder who's giving this message. It's a fair question. I do think it's that for us to really move out of the horrible rut that we're in, a downward path. It's worse than a rut. We're in a high-speed, out-of-control train that's headed for the cliff. We got to do something. And I do believe, as appear that you seem to believe, that a dramatic revelation, a dramatic new way of looking at things is the only solution, and that solution is in recognition of other, and let us say even higher, forms of intelligence. If they're here, we have something that we can learn from them. That's probably true.
As Whitley Strieber once said to me, he said, you know, the aliens are the true architects of the secrecy. They could show themselves, reveal themselves in unequivocal ways. They choose not to.
Yes, that's right. And so I'm of mixed feelings about these aliens, and I guess the reason is because I do believe that there's more than one group that's here. I think that Earth is of immense interest to these other groups. Why? Because we're just about to be able to have the capability to join them, in a sense. I mean, we're on an exponential growth curve here in our own technology, and it's only partly because we're looking at some of their stuff. It's mostly because we're just in a scientific kind of feedback loop here, where we're developing our own technology based on our own previous advances, and we're jumping, we're skyrocketing. And anyone else who can know of us has got to be interested in us. And I think that there's a lot of groups that are here right now watching us very, very carefully.
I have to agree with you. We're going to go to Ricky on our West of the Rockies line from right here in Las Vegas. Ricky, you still there?
Hi, George. Love your reports on TV and been watching you for years. You're a great reporter.
Thanks.
Richard, you know, all this would be true of what you just said if it wasn't. I think they're interested in getting a piece of the action on outsourcing. But other than that, I have a little story that is gonna, it'll be short, but it leads to a very important question for you. I have two of the most important people that I know of about UFOs here. Do either of you know what the BAE is?
The DAE, the Drug Enforcement Agency?
No, the BAE.
Oh, I couldn't
hear. Best Available Evidence. That's its nickname.
Well, it's a book.
It's a 168-page report, and it was commissioned by the late L.R. of New York.
Lawrence Rockefeller.
I'm not saying the name. All I know is that because I was going to do a project on rockets and missiles, and I got really caught up in it, and the detail led me to reverse. I actually, in paper form, reverse formulated the fact that I knew a document had to exist. Well, the person who knows L.R., the late L.R., dropped it in my lap. And I wonder if I was doing rockets and missiles. So I've become now interested in UFOs, but I'm not sure. It comes with a 93-page, it comes with a one-page letter to 93 senators. It was going to be given to them when they met at LR's place in United States. And he was going to, Bill Clinton, and he was going to, he was anxious. He wanted to look into UFOs.
Right.
And there was a section 93 or 92 that had to do with letting this stuff become open to the public. I forgot what the listing was.
Well, anyway, I'm not sure what the specific document you're talking about that you say you have, but this story, I mean, the Lawrence Rockefeller Initiative has actually been written about in a few places on the web, best, I think, by Grant Cameron on his presidential UFO website. I'm writing about it for my next book. It's absolutely true that Lawrence Rockefeller had the ear from time to time of Bill Clinton and of Hillary Clinton. And there's very good evidence that Hillary Clinton met with Lawrence Rockefeller at his Wyoming ranch, which I think what you're referring to, and I think it's Jackson Hole. There's reason to think that Bill Clinton also discussed this matter with Lawrence Rockefeller. The Clinton's whole UFO story is a very, very interesting one. Clinton got elected, there were a number of people who said this is really going to be the opportunity to break the secrecy. I mean, anytime there's a new president, there's always this reason to think, well, maybe now it will happen. And in Clinton's case, it was a reasonable speculation. The reason that it didn't happen is a fascinating one, and it's one that I think I understand, and I'm currently writing about this. Clinton's, I think he had a desire to come out with this. I really believe that, but I think he was stopped.
I know it for a fact, and we can have that conversation at some point, Rich. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back with more of your questions. For Richard Dolan, I'm George Knapp on Coast to Coast AM. We are covering some heavyweight topics here with historian Richard Dolan. We've got about 25 minutes left, so callers, we're going to try to get to as many of you as we can. Some of you have been holding a long time, so please keep your questions sort of to the point so we can cover as many as possible. We're going to go right down the wild card lines. Gloria in Allentown, Pennsylvania, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'll be concise. A lot of people really don't care about what's happening, including that Halliburton got contracts in Iraq. The average household just doesn't care. So As far as the private contractors getting monopoly on steel, if there's a new kind of steel or whatever hypothetical example we have, I'm kind of curious. I mean, I love the show. I think it's great. But I think both Coast and even the non-Coast listeners, meaning people who might get notified by the mainstream media one day, all of us would feel more impacted and more influenced about this information if you could please, Rich Dolan, give us some really good examples of how specific households across America and worldwide would be directly affected by the fact that an international cabal seems to have control of ET technology. And one specific question I have is, could it include psychotronics where there's some kind of radio wave usage where you can kind of zap a person with remote control? Could it include that? Or if not that, then can you give us some examples where, you know, moms and dads and you know, other relatives would be like, this is going to have an impact. Yeah. I'll go ahead and listen now.
Thanks, Gloria.
Gloria, great question. One has to do with money. Now, I don't know how much of the missing money in our society is directly related to UFOs. I believe some of it is. I mentioned the Rumsfeld quote from mid-2001. He talked about $2.6 trillion of missing money. Catherine Fitz has talked about trillions of dollars of missing money. If you calculate that for every American family, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars per person. Okay, so now that doesn't mean that that's all coming out of your income, but it's coming out of somewhere, and it's coming out of something that affects our economy, that's damaging our economy. So there's the money part of it. These private contractors are basically using your tax dollars and my tax dollars to develop their technology without any risk to themselves, really, whatsoever, through secret special access programs. So that if people don't care about where their tax dollars are going, there's really not much I can do for them, right? There's a money issue. But you mentioned psychotronic weapons. You mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned surveillance. I can't remember. There's many cities in this country that are now instituting total surveillance. I remember driving through Baltimore about a year ago, but the city of Baltimore is completely hooked up. So any corner that you're at, you're going to be videotaped. And they can say, well, it's for your safety. It's all for your safety. They're going to start putting little chips inside your skin for your safety too, right? We're moving toward a surveillance state that I think is directly related to the loss of our liberties, which is also related to the damage that's been done to our republic by the UFO secrecy. So it all ties in. I'm not particularly interested in living in a world in which my actions are monitored 24/7, in which my emails can be read by the government now legally. I mean, 10 years ago they were doing it, but it wasn't quite above board and legal. Now it's legal. So now they can get inside your computer anytime they want.
Not to mention the possibility, Rich, that you're doing something that they find suspicious. Whether they've got evidence to prove it or not, they can throw you on an airplane, take you to some dark, dank prison, and let foreign agents torture you.
Well, it's been happening, and in fact, this is going on with alarming frequency now, and people are not really as aware of this as they should be. So, in other words, American citizens, as you say, George, on suspicion of having done wrong, can go missing for years. This is not America. That's not what our country is supposed to be. So if a person doesn't care about the loss of liberties of their fellow Americans, well, I don't. Maybe there's just no hope left for them.
Yeah, it's not affecting the cost of a quart of milk or something like that, as Gloria was looking for something that affects
and that's
her.
That's how it is with a lot of people, and that's how most of my relatives are. When I go get together with my family for reunions, they're not really into too much this whole UFO thing. They're into very practical, pragmatic issues, and I think that's how we typically are. But look, there's, if nothing else, your money is being siphoned away, and it's going into the pockets of people who don't need your money. But their attitude is, why not? If I can get free research, I'll just take tax dollars.
All right, we're going to go to Mark in the Big Easy, New Orleans. Mark, are you there? Hello?
Richard, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, do you understand that the CIA can siphon funds from every federal agency legally?
I couldn't hear you, Mark. CIA can what?
By federal law, the CIA can siphon extra funds.
Yes.
Every agency in the country.
Exactly. That's right.
Wouldn't that account for the monies you've been talking about tonight?
Well, it could. It could be CIA. My wonder is that it may not only be the CIA. For example, the National Security Agency also has access to, you know, ungodly amounts of money, and also has aspects of it that have little to no oversight. Could be CIA, could be NSA, could be another black arm of government that's not even acknowledged. there's a lot we don't know, but you are right that the CIA has been able for years and years and years to get appropriations through other federal agencies, so it's not obvious where this money's going to.
Thanks, Mark. We're going to go to Wildcard 3 and Ann in Walnut Creek, California, pretty little town in the East Bay. Ann, what's on your mind?
All right, I'm going to try to talk really fast. Okay. I'm interested in the effect of this, if it exists, all around the world, and I would assume that the other industrialized nations are being affected similarly, and I'd like to know what they know and what they're doing. May I also very quickly suggest, it's possible, I would think, that if there are aliens, that some or all of them could be nested underground within, somehow under the mantle of the Earth. And this could explain a lot of stuff, like people have supposedly seen craft going, you know, disappearing suddenly, you know, over a ridge or coming out from the ocean, you know, if these tales have been true at all.
Yes.
And also could explain possibly crop circles. But that also relates to what everybody around the world, all the other countries and people are experiencing.
Okay, let's let Rich take a stab at that.
Your last one first. It is my belief, Anne, that there is a significant underground element to this. That there are, I mean, look, if you're an alien coming here, let's say you're not biologically designed to just walk around on the surface of this planet anyway. Solar radiation may be bad for you. Native bacteria, viruses, life forms are not compatible with you, presumably. So what might you do? Well, it would seem logical to me that you might create a secure environment under the ground, one that, you know, you would have the technology, I would assume, to create a nice, sterile, happy, good environment. I do believe that that's the case. There are a number of sources, inside sources, that indicate that this is, in fact, so. So that's a working assumption that I have. The other part of what you said was very interesting, and that's the international component of this. A valid question is, how is it that it's not just the U.S. government keeping the secret, but you've got a global phenomenon? I mean, heck, there's China, there's Russia, there's India, there's all of Africa and Europe. You know, is it realistic to assume that the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. government, the CIA can control all those agencies, all those countries, I mean? It's a good question. Now, here's what I would say regarding U.S. allies, European allies, and South American in particular. I would say the answer is yes, U.S. can and does control them. Take something as simple as, with Britain. Go back 20, 25 years. Britain's intelligence has been controlled by U.S. intelligence for decades. When Britain fought the Falklands War, in 1982, I believe that was, all 98% of their electronics intelligence about the Falklands was coming from the National Security Agency, the NSA. Britain didn't have the satellites in place to get the data that they needed. It all came from American intelligence. So that, in other words, they were beholden to the U.S. national security community. And now they cooperate, they work with it. But who's in charge? It's America. South America is the same thing. There are many, many cases of objects, UFOs, going down in South America and the U.S. military getting control of this situation. And it's just in terms of foreign policy, the U.S. is dominated. There's obviously something behind the scenes going on here in terms of eliciting, getting control. Now you deal with other countries, China. China is not exactly a U.S. puppet, is it? So the real question is, what about nations like that that have some leverage, some independence? Russia is another obvious example. Well, in the case of China, there were statements made even in the 70s and 80s when China was a lot more belligerent, even in some ways than it is now, that China was looking toward the U.S. lead on the UFO issue. Now, I don't
know. Hey, Rich, I'm going to stop you for a second here because we need to take one more break before the end of the show. We'll come back to that. We'll be right back with our final segment with Rich Dolan. Don't go away. I'm George Knapp on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have just a couple of minutes left with Richard Dolan, historian and author. You were finishing up an answer to that question, Rich, before the break about other governments, not our allies, and why they go along with it.
Right. And like in the case of Russia or old Soviet Union, I think there are very similar reasons as to the U.S. silence on this topic. Government had no interest in acknowledging that there was very likely a superior power traversing the skies and oceans and underground of this world. In the aftermath of the collapse of the Soviet Union with the Russian Federation, I think the motives are very similar. I think they're thinking about the same kinds of difficulties that American policymakers are thinking about. And I also think that there is some form of international collaboration on this. I don't pretend that I have the full answer on how that is structured, but I think that there is probably that going on as well.
Basically, no government looks good in comparison to UFOs and in the face of the UFO reality. We've got time for maybe one or two more calls. We're going to the wild card line four. Danny in Norman, Oklahoma, you've been holding on a long time. Thanks for waiting.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I've been looking forward to this show since I heard it was, you know, you guys were going to be on. I'm a MUFON member, and I was at the conference a couple weeks ago in Denver.
Hey, Andy. All right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your presentation there, Mr. Dolan. I have two quick questions for you. One, I'm currently studying meteorology right now, and I know you've done some research that you've probably come into contact with a meteorologist or two. I was just wondering, you know, how receptive they are to the whole UFO phenomenon and all that stuff. And my other question is, if, you know, they can travel through space or dimensions or time or what have you, why have they, you know, stopped you or someone stopped you or those who, you know, those who are getting close to the truth, why don't they just, you know, I know you mentioned Gary Webb a few minutes ago, but why can't they just silence everybody who's getting close?
As far as the meteorology component of that, I don't know too many meteorologists. I think I know there's one that I talked to who had an interest in this topic. His take on it was that he thought there was something to it, but in his professional line, there was no way he was going to get into that at all in terms of what he did. It's a good thing to pursue, like what, you know, how do meteorologists perceive UFOs, just like how do astronomers perceive UFOs. The other question is, you know, in terms of, you know, why you're asking, like, why doesn't the government or the secret keepers just slam down on anyone who gets too close? Well, I think they go against people who may be a threat at a certain point. But if you go after everyone right away, that might lead to suspicion as well. George interviewed Bob Lazar 17 years ago now, and Lazar went public specifically because he felt he was safer that way. You know, I mean, there are multiple groups out there, even within the government. I don't believe that everyone is out to get me personally. I believe that there are allies, and I believe that there are people to watch out for. So, you know, I've had reason to believe that I've been monitored myself. I've had people who've come into my office who are convinced that I've got, that there are bugs in here. I used to get hassled at airports with regularity. That doesn't happen anymore for me, fortunately. So, who knows? I don't have all of the answers as to, you know, who they target and who they don't. Wish I did.
Thanks for the call, Danny. Appreciate it. Can we try to slip in on the international line, Bob in Vancouver? Thanks for holding. You got to be quick with us when we got about 2.5 minutes left.
Surely. I think I may have an industrial component for you that you might want to look into regarding UFO phenomena. from the engineering offshoots of Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire.
Yes, okay.
There's an industrial row in Lebanon, New Hampshire, with a very super secret organization called CREARI that does experimental research in...
Can you spell it, please?
CREARI. It's a Greek word for to create. And they have developed a number of offshoots from that company dealing with plasma research and jet engines that are completely silent. There is a company not too far from CREARI that designs lights that wrap around the skin of planes. All of this was all developed in the late 1970s and the early 1980s.
Wow.
UFOs were sighted in that area. With you know, some of the aerodynamics, the physics of aerodynamics, maneuvering in the 90 degree.
I'm writing this all down.
Yes, I'm a little nervous. Excuse me.
The sightings that you're referring to, I think, are you referring to the Hudson Valley sightings of
sighting
the early 1980s?
This sighting was in the Connecticut River Valley between Vermont and New Hampshire, near Hanover, New Hampshire, where Dartmouth College is located. It was seen by local police, sheriff, and a lady who was a radio television announcer. There were Air Force Academy students who were seen in living in the area, shopping in grocery stores, Air Force Academy T-shirts on. Something very unique was going on, and these companies along in Lebanon are offshoots of Dartmouth College's engineering department. It was also well known that the Rockefeller Art Museum, it took nearly 3 years for it to be built. There was certainly something going on underneath that museum. That
hey, Bob,
area
we're...
is a pocket of research for what I would consider to be your UFO phenomena.
Bob, we're coming to the end of the line here. I think you can probably communicate with Rich Dolan through his website. What is your website again, Rich?
It is keyholepublishing.com, just like you're looking through a keyhole, keyholepublishing.com. That's my site. You can email me through that, no problem.
Hey, thank you very much for being our guest and staying up so late with us. It was a pleasure to meet you and a pleasure in Denver and a pleasure to interview you here. Good luck with Volume 2 of your book. I can't wait for it to come out.
Thank you so much, George. I had an absolute pleasure talking with you today.
Thanks. It was fascinating. Thanks to all our listeners and the callers. Sorry to those of you who couldn't get through. Thanks also to the staff at Premier Radio for doing the great job and to our earlier guest, Dr. Jack Sarfati. My name is George Knapp. This has been Coast to Coast AM, and I hope to join you again sometime.